Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm with Maurice Plaz, and this is February the 9th, what is it, 2015.
There we go.
And Maurice, I just want to say thank you for the interview. There's been a lot of people that have been asking if you've done an interview yet, and I'm just pleased that today's the day that you said, let's do it. So let's go ahead and get started. You know, when people talk about Amador County, the Plaz name always comes up, and, you know, for the right reason. You guys, your family's been here since the 1850s. Everybody in the county or anybody going up and down 88, they know about Plaz Resort at Silver Lake. So let's just kind of start there. Your great-grandfather is the one that came here?
My grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather. Your grandfather came here.
My grandfather.
I'm sorry.
No, it was my grandfather. That's where it's hard to understand. But my dad's first wife died after his second child was born. I don't know how much longer, but anyway, after his second child was born. And later on in the years, he married my mother. So I'm a generation off. Hmm. It should have been my great grandfather, but it was actually my grandfather.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And when did he get here?
About 1850.
In 18?
47, in there, 1847, and then he went mining gold up at Aqueduct City, which actually is down on the river. You know, they call Aqueduct up there just the other side of Pine Grove when you come down in the flat.
Oh, that Aqueduct Road there?
Yeah.
And that's where they had a mine there?
Well, no, it was actually down in a river. We learned here just in the last couple of years, we went down to Roaring Camp, and he was telling the story about it. You know, Roaring Camp, and then up the river was Aqueduct City.
Oh, really?
So evidently that's where he did the mining, was down in the river.
Did he mine anywhere else?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So how come he didn't stay at the mining?
I don't know. He evidently didn't like it, or he made a good load or something. I don't know. We never did hear that part of the story. But then he went and started the trading post at Silver Lake and ran it for 8 or 10 years until they put the road around the spur, and people didn't come over there anymore, and that's when he quit. But in the meantime, he homesteaded property at 160 acres at Silver Lake, and he homesteaded down here with a partner by the name of Grosso, which I know nothing else about.
How do you spell Grosso?
G-R-A-S-S-O.
G-R-A-S-S-O. Okay. And when you say over here, you're talking about off of French Bar Road?
Yeah, to where the ranch where we are right now, yes.
Great. Do you have any idea, approximate idea of when your grandfather started the resort or started the trading post up there?
Yeah, it was when,
like 1858 or something like that?
Yeah, 1850 or 1858. He went to 1860, 52 to 64,
okay.
I believe it was. Yeah, 1852 to 64.
And when you said a trading post, do you know what were some of the items that he had there for the people?
No, I don't. But I know that he'd trade animals. He had animals there, and he'd take them down into Silver Lake there in the meadow and fatten the ones up that he bought, and he sold them back to the other ones that would come through.
Uh-huh.
I know that much, but I imagine he took whatever he could get up there.
Sure. Did he live there year round?
No.
Yeah.
They never did live there year round, to my knowledge.
Uh-huh. So that means then that they would have to just before the harsh winters hit, they'd have to come down to, is it this area?
The ranch here.
Right
here?
Yeah. The ranch?
Yeah.
How long would a trip like that take, do you think?
3-4 days, probably.
Yeah?
Go up.
That's.
I know we drove cattle up there. It was usually 4 days.
Oh, and then traverse.
So that means that they followed the trail or the road from Silver Lake down here. And that was common back then, people moving their cows up and down the same road, same pathway.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember doing that yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, on the road and stuff?
Yeah, just driving up there, yeah. Wasn't the traffic you got today, and the people respected the cows were on the road. They'd stop, you know, and they'd let you lead them through the herd, or if the herd was coming at them, they'd just stop and let the herd go by. Yeah.
So, Maurice, you were raised here on this ranch your whole life?
Yep.
Wow,
except
that's
for the
that's
4 years
cool.
I put in the service, and
lived
here all my life, yeah.
So you have quite a few memories of both places. So what's your earliest memory of the resort?
Oh, when I was a kid, my sister, half-sister Hazel, would take me up there in the summertime when they went up for a week or two. And that's my earliest experience of it, fishing up there with Fred Cuneo and playing around as his parents went up and stayed, or his mother went up and stayed all year up there. I mean, all year, all season.
Right.
And her husband would come up on weekends like all the rest of them did. And they'd leave their wives and their family up there all summer, and they'd come down here and work and go back up the next weekend.
Oh, that's so not only... So Amador County, a lot of Amador County residents, a lot of Jackson residents in Sutter Creek, I would assume, spend a lot of their summer months up there at Silver Lake,
mm-hmm.
just like what you're talking about.
Right.
And then they'd come back down. So you guys are all pretty close.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people from the Bay Area that came up there and stayed.
Was there?
Yeah. We used to have. We had some very good friends, George, Helen Daniels. They went up there on their honeymoon, and they never missed a year until they got to the point they couldn't do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Every year?
Every year, yeah.
Wow.
He had a Pontiac and Cadillac dealership down on Van Ness Avenue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were moneyed people and very good, very good people.
Right.
That's cool. They weren't snooty or nothing.
Did most people have cabins then?
No, they had tents.
Tents.
Yeah.
So when you first started going up there, most people had tents and
tent platforms, they called them. They had wooden platforms and wooden sides up ways, you know, and they had the tents. And I guess they'd bring their own dressers and all that up there, and usually they got stored in the barn in the wintertime. I guess we stored them for them, I presume, or maybe they put them in themselves, possibly, in the upstairs of the barn, and then they'd get them, and the tents would be in there, too, and they'd take them all out and put them up. And
oh, that's neat.
They
so,
were all where the trailers are up there now with all tents and tent platforms.
I was wondering, because I came up here late. I came up here in 1980.
Yeah.
And then my first first time I remember... Plaza's resort was the trailers and the tent camping in the cabins, and of course I knew that it hadn't always been like that. So that's
no; those cabins were built in the 30s.
Okay.
They built them for sleeping cabins, basically, because they had a restaurant in there and regular sit-down dinner restaurant, and they'd come up there rent those cabins.
Now. When those cabins first went up, did you guys own the cabins, or did they own the property? Or
no, we owned
you,
it all.
You owned everything, okay.
Yeah.
And then you rented it out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And you said there's 160 acres up there?
There was,
yeah.
I mean, for Tush, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we still got 68 acres up there.
Oh, that's nice.
Just sold the hard work.
You know, and I want to back up a little bit. So when your grandfather came here, the Plaza is French, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So I take it he spoke French.
Supposedly he spoke five languages.
Really?
But all his diary and stuff got burned up in fire over here.
Oh, that's
years
true.
Ago. I mean, I don't know when it was, before my time.
Uh-huh.
And so all that was lost.
Do you remember him?
No, I did not know him.
Okay.
No, he died before I was born.
So we had a French community up here.
Oh, yeah.
And was he actively involved in that community?
I think they were, yeah. Because his wife came over and they met at French dance or something in Jackson there.
When you say, so where would people go dancing in Jackson at that time period, do you know?
I have no idea.
Because I was wondering, because I was reading some stuff earlier before I came over, and I go, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know where they had the dances then. I mean, in my time, it was the Kravinoff Hall down there where the bookstore is now.
The Heindel Company?
Yeah. That was upstairs there. There's a big dance floor up there.
They also had a gym floor, wasn't it? Didn't they have basketball games there?
Yeah, I think they did, yeah. They had graduations there, they had all kinds of things there. They had a stage and everything, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Well, things are coming back around because I was talking to one of the teachers at Argonaut High School, Teresa Floyd, and she says that this year's junior-senior prom is going to be held up there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how things make a big circle. And she said the kids went and looked at it. I think it's called the Hub now by ACRA, Amador County Recreation Association. And she said they're really excited about decorating it, and all the kids are getting excited again. So I think it's cool that people are using the same facility that you and other people used, and it's still there. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah. When I was a kid, there was a dance every Saturday night, someplace in the county or in Calaveras County. So you could go dancing every Saturday night, just about.
Really?
Yeah, putting there every Saturday night.
Now, is that... That dances, is that the same building you're talking about then? Is that where all the dances normally were?
They're there in Jackson, yeah. That's where they were in Jackson. And then Sutter Creek, they're over at their hall right downtown there.
The auditorium?
Yeah, the auditorium. And Ione was in the auditorium down there. And McCallum Hill at their auditorium next to the firehouse over there.
Oh, yeah. So you guys had a choice of which place you went to?
Well, no, they weren't all on the same weekend,
Oh. Oh, I see. So they kind of rotate around?
Them
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, had some good times back in those days.
Yeah, I bet there was.
Darn right.
I was doing some reading earlier, and they talked about the Alpine Hall. Have you ever heard of the Alpine Hall?
No.
I was just curious where that would be. It says 2 miles from Jackson.
2 miles from Jackson.
He said it's owned by Frank Hewitt.
By who?
Hewitt.
Hewitt. Yeah, I know the name Hewitt.
Yeah. And I just jotted down notes, not knowing if you would know these people.
No, I don't know. I know the name Hewitt, all right.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure where I remember him from. Where he was. That's an old name there, yeah.
So, when you guys first started using, going from Jackson up to Silver Lake, was it called the Alpine State Highway?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, before they named it 88, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was the Alpine Highway.
And you said it took around if you're driving cattle, it'd take about 4 days?
4 days, yeah.
Has the highway changed a lot since that you can recall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as far as where it went, it's changed. Yeah, where it goes around Peddler Hill now, around there. It used to go up over the top of it.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Over the top of Peddler Hill?
Yeah, right over the top. Yeah, come out up there where that maintenance station is.
Oh, okay.
You know where it is?
I know where the maintenance station is.
Yeah, well, just past the maintenance station, you just drop down about where they put that power line, if you know where they have we're digging there.
I do.
There, and then it changed down at between Hams and Ranger Station, just above Hams where that sand shed is down there. The road went off to the right, went up over the top there, and come out up at the Ranger Station up there at Lumberyard.
Oh, interesting.
And Dewdrop changed. That used to go around where the fire station is at Dewdrop in there. The road used to go down, make that curve around there and come out. I mean, not just a short fill through there. But
right. That's changed a lot then.
That's changed, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it's chained up cannot see from the other side of Peddler Hill, or the maintenance station at Peddler Hill. It changed there, goes down lower, and comes out up there at Mormon Immigrant Trail.
Okay.
And then at Mormon Immigrant Trail, it's changed. It goes around that hill now instead of right up over the top of it. Used to go where you turn a Mormon Immigrant, you
right,
know, and
right.
You up the road a little bit, you may start making a curve. Well, it went right up the hill and come out up there on top where the sand, where that sand shed is up there.
You've seen a lot
and
of changes.
And Silver Lake Grade, too, has changed, too. Going down into Silver Lake,
right.
Yeah, that's changed. And going up toward the Spurs all changed. And Red Lake Grade has changed. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes to 88.
Now, that Red Lake area, isn't that where part of the Amador Wagon Road was?
Mm-hmm.
On that one side? Do you remember going on that road at all?
No, I never went on I went on that road around the side over there. Yeah, they didn't.
Okay.
They evidently came up to the cliffs right there and then hoisted the wagons right up.
Have you seen that area where they hoisted it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you can actually still see where they had the pulleys and the rope around the trees because
mm-hmm.
it left such an indentation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've seen a lot up there.
Yeah.
And the Oddfellows, don't they have a little thing there, too, where they had some paintings? Names were painted on rocks or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen that for a long time. I remember seeing it years ago, but I never... Yeah, that was a tough road a whole way they came up.
Yeah, when you think about all the months it took them or weeks to get to where they did, and all of a sudden they look up and go, this is what we got to finish with.
Yeah, you get to climb there, then they had to go over it. Cross Cables Lake and climb out of that all the way up to the top.
Yeah, I haven't seen that area yet. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Do you know what they call a weather station up there? That mountain that you can see the antenna on?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they went over the top just to the north of that mountain, right where it makes a cut. And then, what's the name's got a... Kirkwood's has a ski lift, Sure 4, I think it is, or something that
right.
goes up kind of there, but this one right between it. They went up there and went over the top, and then they had downhill from there on.
Coming down towards Silver Lake?
Yeah, well, down the ridge, yes,
yeah.
Far ridge up there, come down there where he had his trading, grandfather had his trading post.
Uh-huh.
And then they come out there at Mormon Immigrant Trail, you know,
mm-hmm.
they come out right, or no, they come out of Tragedy, excuse me, they come out right up there at Tragedy on top of the hill. And then went down, some went to Mormon Immigrant Trail, and some
mm-hmm.
come down towards Jackson and went down that way.
Yeah. And so, do you know the story on Tragedy Springs, or?
Well, supposedly the Indians killed some Mormons that were going through there.
Uh-huh. Because I know that's one of the things as you're coming up 88 today, you go right by Tragedy Springs.
Yeah, you go by it now instead of going around. Yeah, that's another place that changed right in there. Well, that whole road right through there, like I said, up coming up from Maiden's Grave, well, it even changed around Maiden's Grave, too.
They moved that.
Yeah, they used to go around, well, but where you go up Maiden's Grave and go through that cut there, they used to go around and come out that,
oh.
and they come out just above Maiden's Grave.
Okay.
Or just west of where the grave is, you could still see where the old road went around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
interesting. And then it went from there. Then it went up where they put that power line in here last year where they cut an area. Went up there and come out over it around Tragedy Springs there where Batchich's cabin and that is.
Oh, okay.
And went out. Uh-huh. Yeah. Things have changed.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
it's,
they
it's,
changed
it's,
a lot when you stop. I had to stop and think.
Well, but you remember it quite well. That's kind of interesting. It is interesting.
Yeah.
So, Cook Station, that has that always been there?
Mm-hmm.
And has it always been a place for people to get something to eat? And
yeah, it was a way station on the way down. It was just like Hams and there. They were all about 4 miles apart. They had to.
Well, I know they're real close.
Yeah, they're all about 4 miles apart. Stop and think about it.
Except
up Silver Lake there. I mean, I don't know. There was, well, Tragedy Springs, that's probably one there. There was probably kind of a settlement in there or something.
I know there's a house and some foundations.
Well, there. Yeah, that's Batchich's.
Yeah.
They own that. But, I mean, before that, I'm talking before that, there was probably something there to, well, there used to be a business there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had gasoline and food and drink and everything there.
So
it
all the
probably
way,
was in the old days, too.
Sure, yeah. Makes sense. All the way up.
Yeah.
So Cooks and Hams, have they changed much since you've seen them? You want to get that?
Yeah. All right, you were talking about Hams and Cooks. Hams has gone to hell. That used to be a real good place to stop and eat and everything. Uh-huh. But Mrs. Pasquetti that ran it, her and her husband, Bert, she was a very good Italian cook, and they used to have some good food in there.
Uh-huh.
But now it's a dump. But Cook Station is building back up now, and it's...
That's what I've heard.
They've got pretty decent food in there now. It's a good place to stop. We stopped there all the time in the summertime.
Oh, do you?
Have breakfast.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they just have breakfast and lunch. They don't serve dinners.
Now, has it always been called Cooks that you can recall?
Mm-hmm.
And Hams has always
Hams
been
Hams. Hams always been called Hams, as I can recall, yeah.
It's nice that they keep the names.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did a little reading of the area, and I'm just kind of looking at it from here going up to the Silver Lake or coming back down. I read that somewhere along the line there were sawmills, and I don't know how close they were. Or any, do you remember any sawmills?
Well,
in the areas?
Derry sawmill was down, but they weren't right along the road.
Right, I don't think any of them by the road, but it was kind of...
Yeah, Berry sawmill and Wetzel Oviatt were down... you turned off at Cook Station, just below Cook Station.
Okay.
Down in there, and you went down to Berry's Mill. That was the closest to us, and then Wetzel's was way down.
That was there a long time, Wetzel's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it ran Berry's Mill. I mean, it was an old mill. And then there was one, call it an oaky mill, is what it was. They were around Pioneer in there that... This was during the war,
uh-huh.
Or just after the war, I guess, maybe. No, I guess it was during the war that they had mules. They were skidding logs with mules.
Skidding logs with mules.
Yeah.
Huh? Boy, that's back in the day.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
Was there one called Farr or Leslie's sawmills that you know of?
Could be in Leslie's. I don't know Farr.
F-A-R-R?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know
no,
when these
I
were.
Don't,
I just,
yeah, I don't
just
know.
I had read about it. I didn't know.
Uh-huh. I have no idea.
But I knew if they were there when you were around, you would know.
No, they must have been there before me. But there was other sawmills around, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Before me, yeah.
You know, one of the things that I was impressed with, I went to you and your wife's 60th wedding anniversary. And... you had a lot of friends that were there from the resort days.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only time you saw them was during the summertime or the wintertime, because there's a group there you called, or they call themselves the Snowmobile Buddies or Friends. And I guess a bunch of you guys always went up during certain times.
Oh, yeah.
We
used to go up snowmobiling that.
Yeah.
We had some good times up there.
I really enjoy listening to the folks all talk about the good times they had with all you guys. And,
yeah.
You know, what a wonderful extended family you had. All
oh, God, you ain't kidding.
Different people.
We met people from every walk of life and made friends with them, it seems like. Yeah.
What?
Yep, we got doctors and lawyers and I don't know about Indian chiefs.
Maybe.
We might be. There might be one of them, too. The Indians used to come over and work for my dad over there at the resort. They come over from Markleyville and Woodford's, and they come over and work in the summertime.
So they'd come up over the spur and down?
I guess, yeah. Well, the road was, you know, when my dad had it, that was when the road was going then, you know.
Uh-huh, right.
88 was going, you know. So, yeah, they used to come over and work over there.
So your dad took it over after your grandfather?
I guess, yeah. I guess he learned through to my grandfather, and then he took it over and ran it.
So the Indians, were they Washoe Indians, do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, they were?
Yeah,
okay.
They were Washoes, yeah.
Because I know that area was known to have Washoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over and worked in the summertime, springtime. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, they worked around there. They did the laundry and that, I know that. And what else, I can't remember what. But.
Right. Now, where did you have all the cattle grazing at? Where?
All up in the back country, up south of the resort there.
Okay.
Yeah. It was all tailored grazing permit. It's Forest Service ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It was tailored grazing. And we had a section of it up there that we, I say a section, I mean, you know, an area.
Sure. What other families went up there to graze cattle like yourself?
Oh, well, originally those Ferraris were up there, and then Batchich bought them out, and they Batchich ran up there. George Allen from Sutter Creek, he ran up in there. Tom Burke from Plymouth. He was up in that country. Bamert was up in that country. Clements from down. Clements used to run sheep and that up.
Oh, they had sheep up there too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they had something like 7,000 head of sheep or something they'd run through up there.
Oh, that's substantial.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's
really
what
is.
I heard. You know, I don't know.
Did you have much problems with mountain lions or bears or anything like that?
Well, you used to have a lot of trouble with bears. Getting in the garbage cans up there, remember that. They used to raise hogs up there in the summertime. They did everything up there. They made butter.
Oh, really?
We even got a cardboard box, blast butter on it.
Uh-huh.
They made butter, and they butchered. They butchered hogs, and they butchered cows, and sold meat, fresh meat and everything there. But anyway, you go around and pick up all the garbage from stocking camp and the Girl Scout camp on the other end of the lake and that. And I guess Kit Carson Lodge, too, picked up all the garbage and take it over and feed dogs, you know. Bears were also there. Breaking in, yeah.
The bears and the hogs were after the same thing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But, then we had a lot of trouble with bears and when I was running the resort, too, breaking into garbage cans and houses. I mean, they broke into the resort one way or there, broke into the kitchen. And,
oh, boy.
And tore up all the plastic
containers.
Yeah, all the plastic containers that had spice and stuff in them. And then they busted in the upstairs, in the downstairs door, and went upstairs and where we lived up there and tore a couple of doors off the cabinets.
Well, it's the three bears that went to sleep.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, we had a lot of bear trouble. And then they got those locked garbage cans now, and so that solved that problem. Plus, Forest Service or the Parks and Recreation don't bring bears over from Yosemite anymore like they used to. They get the troublemakers over there, and they'd haul them over there and dump them off.
Seriously, they dumped them off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were all those well-trained Yosemite bears.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we never ever caught them, but we knew that's where they came from.
I'll be darned. So they were already trained, so they brought
them. Oh, yeah, they were already trained how to tear a refrigerator apart or something. Yeah, son of a bitch.
You said it correct.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of bears there for a while.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of bear trouble. We trapped some, shot a bunch of them. Finally, they quit. They run out of money. They can't haul them over there anymore, I guess. Can't afford to haul them over, so they euthanize them is the proper word now.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They won't shoot them. They euthanize them.
Okay.
So it's there hasn't been any trouble up there for the last 3-4 years now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of, was there a lot of deer hunting in the area, too?
Oh, at that when I was young, there was, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Until they shot all the deer off and the mountain lions get the rest of them, I guess. Now there's nothing up there to speak of.
I've heard that.
Oh.
Same thing you're saying.
There was deer hunters every place, and they've all got nice bucks and everything. And then they open up this preserve and that preserve, and they just killed them all off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no deer. Now, maybe they'll probably come back again, you know. I mean, they're cycle like everything else.
Sure.
It's on a cycle, so. Hard to say.
So you talk about fishing. So trout fishing was always big at Silver. I mean, you've always had a lot of fish there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody talks about catching fish at Silver.
Oh, yeah. They had He used to catch fish. The fish well was original when they grew themselves there and weren't planted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'd go up the creek there and spawn and everything, and they used to catch fish. They had wash buckets full of fish.
Amazing.
Pictures of them.
Yeah. Wow, that's... Now, that's interesting. You've seen so many changes from when you were a child to now. And do you own the resort anymore?
No.
No.
No, we sold that in 2001.
Okay.
No, we sold the part that had the hard work to it and kept the rest of the property.
That's good. You still have some.
Oh, yeah. I'd have hated to sell that, but just got to the point I couldn't run it anymore.
Yeah, so, because it's still known as Plaza's Resort.
Yep, still known as Plaza's Resort, and hope it stays that way.
I seem to think it probably will.
It's been good for people, you know, and come up there and they make new friends, and just had a good time, that's all. You get up there and enjoyed life.
That's what I've heard people say.
Yeah.
And Janice and I have been up there a couple times, and it always makes you smile.
Mm-hmm.
There's always people you know, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Now, where else can you go where people show up and they're in a good mood and they leave happier? I mean, that's what you guys are all about.
Yeah, that's what it was all about. Yeah. We used to have some good times.
Now, you talked about earlier, you mentioned Stockton's Municipal Camp.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Well, it was a camp that was run by the city of Stockton, and it was for, at one time, it was for the people in the city of Stockton only, I believe. Maybe San Joaquin County probably was people that were residents there.
Uh-huh.
That was a camp for them. Now anybody can go up there and do it.
Now where is that?
It's located south of us, or the Plaza's Resort. It's south of us, but a little bit back up in the trees up there.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it.
Never seen it? Yeah,
I haven't gone back there. I just stopped at you guys' place.
Oh, well, you ought to go on through.
Yeah.
It's only not... What the hell, from here down to the road, down the end of the...
It's pretty close.
Pavement down there. Yeah.
We need to do that.
Yeah. And they had just the summer camp. Originally, they had nothing but tents up there, too. And then they built a whole bunch of bigger cabins up there.
Mm-hmm.
I say bigger, you know, they're one room, but they were just bigger than the ones we had down there. And they served 3 meals a day.
They still operate today?
Yeah, they're still operating partially. I mean, it's just about ready to collapse now.
It's hard for municipalities to keep something going.
Yeah. The city of Stockton gave it up. It got to be a slush fund or some damn thing. People were charging everything to the camp instead of
taking care of themselves.
Supposed to be, it got so it was too expensive to run. So some people that camped up there all their life, they got together and they're trying to run it now.
Oh, that's good.
But they're old timers, and I don't know how long it's going to last.
Sure. So you got that place, and of course your place, Plaza's, and there's a Kay's Resort.
There was Kay's Resort down the other.
And what was that like?
It was just a resort alongside the road. They had cabins down there, and they sold gas, and they had a restaurant at one time, and grocery store, and that, and boats, rent boats mainly. And then it was Kit Carson Lodge on the round thing over there. Yeah, it's a little high class camping over there. I mean, camping. They got cabins, high class cabins, and you eat. I mean, some of them cook. I guess some of them are housekeeping cabins, and then they have a nice restaurant there.
I've read that.
Yeah.
I've never been there, but I've read it.
Yeah.
Because they're expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive, yeah.
But sometimes you get what you pay for.
That's right. You get what you pay for. That's right.
So at Kay's Resort, did you know, was the owner named Kay?
Yeah, one time, yeah. One time it was Kay, yeah.
Did you know them?
I didn't know her, no, but I knew the people that ran them after.
Oh, okay.
Who ran it for her, they said, but I never did meet her, no. And then this John and Mona White, they bought it from these people and ran it until he died, and then she had, what's the name, took it over. PG&E sold the water rights to El Dorado Irrigation District and sold the lake, And so they took over and they wanted to change everything, and finally she just left and they tore it all down. And so there's nothing there now except the boat launching ramp.
I was wondering why they weren't operating anymore.
Yeah, no, they tore everything.
So the El Dorado district made things a little difficult for them.
Yeah.
And probably for everybody else then.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned a half-sister?
Mm-hmm. I had a half-brother and a half-sister.
Yeah. Okay.
Raymond Plass and Hazel Plass Hull. She married a guy by the name of Coleman Hull, and they lived in Redwood City. He was a banker. He worked for Crocker National Bank down there mm-hmm. years until he retired.
So your father married... Your mother?
No. He married Mary Ferrari.
Okay.
And then had Raymond and Hazel.
Okay.
And then she died after Hazel was born sometime. I don't know how long. But I think those two, Ray and Hazel, were raised by my aunt here. And then my dad married my mother years later.
Oh, okay.
And then I was an accident to come along.
That's a great accident.
Yeah, turned out just right. There wouldn't be any more classes if it wasn't that, for sure. The end of the family. Yeah. Because Ray never married, and one sister and one brother never married, or one aunt and one uncle, I should say, never married.
Right.
And one uncle was married and left the ranch and moved to Clements. He never had children.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And so...
So you're it.
Yeah. And my sister and her husband, they never had children. Ray never married, so it's a good thing I did.
Nice job, buddy.
Yeah.
And I know you filled out the paperwork, so we have a...
Well, I filled out some of it here, but some of it I didn't quite understand all that well. I mean, this year, and this is all the kids... Wife was doing that this morning. So what I could, I figured we'd just talk about
that. And we are. That's how we're going to do it the other.
Yeah.
So thanks on that.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of talk about some of these other things that's on that list. And I know we spent a lot of time with your talking about the resort and stuff, but that's mm-hmm. originally what, you know, people, when they associate your name, that's what they
associate. Yeah.
Do you know where your grandfather came from?
Yeah, he came from Villefranche.
Villefranche.
Villefranche, which is just north of Lyons on the Rhone River.
Uh-huh. And
we went over there and we missed it, though, because there's two Villefranches. There's one north of Lyons, and then there's one that's south of Lyons. And we went down to the one that was south, and it was the wrong one. We didn't have it was on a... trip, so we didn't get to see it. But we did go to Paris. We ended up in Paris, and we went found where my grandmother come from.
Oh, really?
64 Rue Richelieu.
Oh, you got the address.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, I got a picture of it here.
So oh, that's great.
I don't know if it's in this one or not.
Oh, that's really neat. Enjoy chasing, you know, going after your roots and looking at
it? No, it isn't in this one. It's not this one. It's another one. But anyway, I'll show it to you.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we went. We took a taxi from the hotel. And it's right between the Opera House and the Louvre.
Yeah.
The street that goes up.
And it's still there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. We had a friend. I don't know. You don't know this gal, June Somerville, down. She's a kind of historian, too. She wrote a book about Silver Lake, the Wagon Road, or... forget what the hell the name is. Anyway, she's writing another one. But anyway, she had a friend that used to go over to France and stay for a month or two over there, you know. So he went and found...
Oh, that's cool.
He found it for us and took some pictures of it and tried to talk to the people, but there's a bunch of lawyers that own it now, I guess, and they didn't want anything to do with talking to him.
That's funny.
Afraid somebody was going to come and... steal it from them or something.
Oh, that's funny. Now, did they come over by themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't married at the time. They got married down in Butte City down here used to be a big community down there at one time.
I've seen the store.
Yeah, well, it was 5,000 people down there at one time.
Really?
Catholic church down there. And that's where they were married, in the Catholic church down there. Yeah.
It was that large?
Yeah. Yeah, at one time they said 5,000 people.
I'll be darned. Did it go all the way to the river, or did it just go up?
I have no idea.
Up the side there.
I've never saw it. It was way before my time.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
Never, that's all I know is a store down there.
Yeah.
It ain't more.
That's a lot.
But no, Grandpa, he came through Marseilles and around the Horn, a sailing ship, and ended in San Francisco. And she came a few years later. I didn't even know him at the time. But her father left there and came to Jackson and started a bakery.
Oh.
And he had a bakery going in Jackson. And finally, her mother and her and another sister came over, and they went across the isthmus.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they went across the isthmus and came. And then she met him in Jackson here, and they got married here, yeah, or down in Butte City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So did your parents ever talk about the French settlement up here or anything?
No. That was another thing I was going to tell you. There's a place down here along the river before they built Pardee Dam where this was called French Bar,
mm-hmm.
where a bunch of French people lived down there.
Oh.
And so we saw the remains of the buildings down there when it had a big drought and Pardee was real low.
Oh, okay.
And we went down there, and by God, there was
really
saw the foundations and stuff down there. Yeah.
So did this road go all the way down through there?
Well, I guess it did. There was a goat trail or something that went down
there.
It wasn't what you call a road, but
yeah,
I guess it went down all the way to the river. I don't think it crossed the river because the country was pretty rough, and there's no signs of a road on the other side, at least what you can see looking across. There was no signs of it. But
is this French Bar Road named French Bar because of
I guess
your
because
family?
Of that, well, because of that settlement down
that
there,
settlement?
I guess,
okay.
I presume. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see what else happened. So let's talk about you more so. You went to school, and it was Jackson Elementary?
Yep, Jackson Elementary.
Is it the same place it is now?
Mm-hmm.
The school hasn't changed? It's always been
there? Oh, yeah, the building's different.
Is it?
Yeah, they had the two. You must have seen pictures of that, the two old buildings, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that, and then went to school in Jackson High School, or went to high school in Jackson over there, where the elementary is now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of changes with that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Schools.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah.
Now, you've always lived here?
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to get to school from here?
15, 20 minutes, I guess. Yeah. I never did time it to find out.
Yeah, so it's always been that.
Mom always took me until I was old enough to drive, and then I drove a Model A and went to school.
Do you remember any of your teachers' names?
Yeah.
In elementary school?
DVT, Dorothy Van Thiel. There was one.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. McKay, he was a principal. And Judge Shop was a shop teacher, he was a hell of a shop teacher. That tambourine right there.
Oh, yeah.
That
little
table?
Yeah.
The first project, and he was woodworking mostly. And that was my first project.
Yeah.
Still there.
Still there.
I guess he knew what he was doing.
You were a good student.
I didn't care much for woodwork, though. I was like to be mechanic around that, so I was always doing stuff I shouldn't be doing.
That's
talking
okay.
about that.
That's all right. You know these all these creeks around here. Did you ever go fishing in any of these? There's no fish there.
No.
Okay.
No. But Jackson Creek, yeah, there used to be fish in Jackson Creek to fish that, but these here didn't have.
Okay. So people actually fish Jackson Creek. Was there any salmon ever run up that?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't think they'd get this far.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why.
Yeah, I don't think so. I never heard of it. Now, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But no, they were just little trout go fishing for. But no, most of the fishing I did, which I never did a lot of it, but it was up in the mountains and the,
right, well, that's
the lakes up there.
Sure.
And, yeah.
So when you were like in elementary school, who were the people you hung out with? What were some of the other kids' names?
Oh, Robert Swenson, Frank Boozy, Ralph Jakasich, Fred Onetto, Roy Reynoso, all those guys, yeah.
I know some of them.
Yeah, you know, some, yeah. Well, some of them were dead. Roy Reynoso, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Robert, you know Robert, yep. Pam's father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were kids, I mean, Kel, before we went, I guess, well, not before we went to school. Frank was, but Frank Boozy and I were only 4 days apart in age.
Oh, really?
And he was born just down a canyon down here.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we've been friends for years. And Robert, I used to, my mother and his mother were good friends, and we always used to go in there and visit with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there was Lorraine Digitale and Elsie Boitano and Marion Koski and, oh, God, who else? Evelyn Susic. Yeah, we...
You guys went through all the schools together.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. We all went to school together.
Are there any special events or anything that was pretty unique to this area or that you can recall? I mean, you guys do... Was parade...
Well, used to have the Mountain Man Parade. Yeah, okay. They used to have it every year. And the Italian Picnic Parade, which they still do.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, that was the big thing, was the Mountain Man Parade.
Right downtown Jackson?
Yeah, right downtown Jackson. I mean, you used to have hundreds of floats and stuff went through.
Yeah.
It was big, a lot of horses. It was good, a good one. Everybody had a good time.
And then you were around when the mines were all still pretty active then.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I never really was involved with them or nothing.
Right, but,
I
you were in the county then.
Yeah, they were running, yeah. They were.
Because they closed down in 42.
Yeah. Yep, they were running.
So downtown Jackson has changed a lot.
Changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it has.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rip-roaring town back in those days.
So you remember the gambling and you know, all the things that took place there, and it was, now you can correct me if I was wrong, but I had heard that almost everybody was employed that wanted to be employed. There was plenty of jobs.
Plenty
and
of jobs, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there was. I never heard anybody being having EBT cards or be on welfare.
Yeah, I haven't either.
No.
Everybody has said what you have said is that life was pretty good. There's
it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things going on.
Oh yeah, best there was. We lived in the best part of the times. So I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And they never had any trouble. They had the gambling and they had the cat houses and that. But there was never any trouble. If there was, the deputy sheriff and the constable, they took very good care of it, and they didn't do it again.
Right.
You know.
And my understanding was that people that were involved in all those different types of activities, meaning the owners, that they were very good at giving out charitable gifts to various organizations and things of that.
I imagine they were, yeah.
That's what I've heard. So.
Yeah, I really don't know that. I really don't know. But today is the same thing. I mean, got people. There's always something people want money for today.
Yeah.
Something or other. Or John says, I mean, God, they're just going, always hitting them up for something.
Yeah, they would.
So there's a lot going on there, yeah.
So when you're growing up as a kid, so let's in elementary school, say, did you guys go out and play? Was there little league teams and things of that nature? Was there anything like that?
No. I never played baseball. I played football in high school, and I was too slow for basketball. I tried it, but I was too slow for it, so I gave that up. But just mainly played football.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there wasn't all this extracurricular stuff there is today, you know.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things for kids to do nowadays that are team-oriented, and you guys did a lot of things together with each other, hunting, fishing, just being kids.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to babysit us. I mean, we took care of ourselves.
Was there a movie theater here in town? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was Saturday Night Adventure, going to the movies.
Now, where was that located?
Well, the original one was down there where that big empty space is between the old Spinetti store and the bank down there. You know, that empty spot. That was the original one. And then the other one was up where the parking lot is for the bank.
Okay.
That's where the last one was, you know.
Okay.
Yep, go there. And old Sophie's was across the street. Go get an ice cream banana split or a cone or something. Have a big, nice ice cream.
Now, which building is that today? Or which place is that today?
Sophie's?
Yeah.
I don't know what's called in there now.
So, you know where JB's is at, Trophies and stuff?
Way down the end, yeah.
Wasn't that also a soda place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the hell was it called? I can't tell you right now.
The Butte Bowl?
Yeah.
That's what it was called then?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good ice cream.
Oh, funny. So, Maurice, while you were growing up here, I know this is a big Italian community. What are some of the things that you remember, celebrations and or different jobs that the Italians had in this community?
Well, I mean, biggest part of them, like along with the Serbs, worked in the mines up there when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And the others, you know, after grew up and that, and the others around, I mean, they just did whatever jobs there were, what they knew to do.
Right.
I mean, we had good friends, Picardas. He worked for PG&E. He was a pole climber for PG&E. And other I tell you, my neighbor down here, Boozy, he was straight from the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He had come here and amassed enough money to buy a bunch of land bought a ranch and run cattle on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the mines, when you were a kid and young man, what mines that you can recall were operating pretty regularly?
Well, the Argonaut and the Kennedy.
They were by far the biggest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, as far as I know, that was, well, I think the one in the Eureka mine in Sutter Creek, I think it was going at the time, mm-hmm. You know, when I was a kid.
Do you remember, I've talked to some people, and sometimes they say they remember the noise that those mines put out. Do you remember any particular noise?
No, I don't. No, living out here, I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I know, I heard that the other day, somebody was talking about the noise that the stamp mill was making, you know.
You remember that when you went to school or high school or... Yeah, because...
I don't remember it, no.
So it must have not been that bad.
No.
If you didn't remember.
Because when I was in grammar school over there, they had the big sand pile over there back at the Serbian church. And
mm-hmm.
And I remember when the wind blew, you could see it blowing from the school windows and that. And then they come in not too long after that and covered it all with dirt to stop it from
mm-hmm.
blowing. But... No, as far as the mines running, I don't really remember a lot about them, and the noise I never noticed.
Do you remember some of the names of the people that were Italian that might have worked in the mines, or that were old family names up here other than the two that you just mentioned?
Right now, I can't think of them. I can think of Vukovic's, Nedju's father. He worked in the mine, Serbians. He worked in the mine there. But Italians right now, I can't.
So you mentioned,
can't come up with a name, no.
You mentioned Serbian, and we just recently had a Serbian Christmas. Do you remember anything about that going on strongly when you were here?
No, they all had them, yeah. They all used to have them, but like I said, I never really got into going to the Serbian Christmases.
Right, yeah. Right. I just remember I was thinking of the gunshots going off and all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the gunshots. I remember that. Yeah. The gunshots.
Kind of,
but as far as going, I think I went down to Wells Fargo once when Danny Vukolovich was down there. I think I went down there to a party once. But
I did that when I moved up here. They had a Serb goat upstairs and part of the Serbian Christmas. And everybody was invited. And it was a lot of fun. And
Their goat, yeah. Well, he used to serve that during the year, you know, in the spring of the year, and that they had goat feeds too. Oh yeah, we used to go to that all the time.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh yeah, he knew how to do it.
So the Italian picnic and the Italian fairgrounds, that seems to be something that's always gone on. Did you ever attend any of those?
Oh yes, used to go to the parades every year.
Yeah, have they always been in Sutter Creek?
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, they always were, yeah. Ever since I was around,
right,
they were.
Right.
Used to go up to the fairgrounds and that. Enjoy
so
it.
Has that changed much, what they did at the fairgrounds then versus now?
No.
It's all about the same?
All about the same, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it hasn't changed too much. I mean, well, they've improved it, you know. They improved
right.
The fairgrounds up there, the Italian picnic grounds. But as far as changing, they haven't changed it an awful lot, no.
That speaks pretty highly. So they got something good going. They just keep it going.
Yep, keep it going.
There's something else that I was going to ask you about that. I'll think of it in a minute. So the gambling that took place in Jackson, was it, it was downtown. And were there a lot of places there that had gambling? Were there a lot of stores that were open there that did that?
Mm-hmm.
Was that during the day, night, both?
Well, during the night, I know, and I guess probably some were in the daytime too, I presume. I never inhabited them, so I don't know. But, there was a lot of gambling places. A lot of restaurants that had gambling too.
So restaurants would have slot machines and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was the gambling mostly for locals, or did it bring in a lot of
people? Oh, it brought in a lot of people.
So it did bring in a lot of people.
Yeah, it brought in a lot of people.
So this was a tourist community at that time?
At that time, yeah.
Was it mostly men that came up here for this stuff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the houses that catered to men, so no better word.
Yeah.
But Borealis, where were those located at?
Well, it was one located about where Mel's is sitting now.
Okay.
There was one there, and then the other ones were over where the Bank of America parking lot is.
Okay.
Because where the Bank of America is, it used to be a Ford garage.
Oh, did?
Yeah, that was the Ford garage. And I worked in the Ford garage. And in the back end of the shop, the windows, and you could watch everybody going into the cat houses back there.
That's funny.
When the end of the war come, Charlie Gorman, who was owned the Ford garage, Gorman Motors, he said, "You go over there and get the old gal and have a drink." And I climbed out the window and went over and got the old madam over there, and she come over and climbed in the window. Oh, I had a drink at the end of the war.
When you found out the war was over, that's what you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, had a big celebration.
Yeah. And how, I've heard that those women were well received in the community.
Yeah, no, I never heard anything about bad about them.
Yeah, I haven't either.
No, they kept to themselves. They didn't bother nobody. Yep.
It's all part of the community.
It was part of the community, that's all.
Right. And the churches, they were fine with all that?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was nobody out there ranting and raving and with placards or anything to say and get them out of here. Just old Jerry Brown wanted to make a name for himself.
Pat Brown.
Or Pat Brown, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry just is bad.
Okay.
Put that in there.
So Pat Brown is the one that closed it down.
Oh, yeah. He closed the cat house and the gambling down, yeah.
And how bad did that hurt the economy up here? Or did it?
Oh, you know, I don't know that. But I would imagine it did the town part,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't affect us any and that, but yeah, I would imagine it did affect the economy.
Yeah, because all of a sudden things just changed drastically.
Oh, they just stopped them. Yeah, they just stopped.
And the mine stopped like 10, 12 years earlier.
Yeah, mine stopped, and so, I mean, that's a lot of the bars closed up then and the restaurants and that.
Mm-hmm.
Just weren't the people to feed them anymore. Or to feed.
Right. You still have logging up here, though. Wasn't logging still pretty big?
Yeah.
And who ran the mill up at Martell? Who owned that? I can't remember.
Well, Winton's were original ones.
Okay.
And American Forest Products.
American Forest, that's what I had.
Yeah. And then Bendix, and then, I don't know, a couple others. But yeah, I worked, drove logging truck when Winton had it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Before I went into service, I drove a couple of years there. And then when I got out, I drove a little bit and worked in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Grease Monkey up there for a season or two.
This is right after high school is when you did all this?
Yeah, the logging was right after high school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best paying jobs in Amador County, $1.94 an hour.
Really?
I had a logging truck.
Is that right?
That's right.
And what year was that?
Well, 52. No, I went to service in 52. Excuse me. No, it was in 1950. About, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep, that was a high-paying job there.
So in high school, you went to Jackson High School, and that's where the administration building is now?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember any of those teachers?
Yeah, I told you already. Shop teacher,
right.
And McKay was a principal, and Dorothy Van Thiel was an English teacher, and Mrs. McKessa was algebra teacher, and who was home ec? I can't remember them. I don't know, that's about the limit of it. Judge Williams, the shop teacher. Williams, I said shop a while ago, but
no.
Judge Williams.
Who's your football coach?
Larry Danilovich.
Danilovich.
Yeah, that was another teacher up there. It was Larry Danilovich when he started out.
And he's very well known.
Yeah.
So you guys have a pretty good football team?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. What teams did you guys play back then?
Well, all the ones in the county around here in Calaveras.
Okay.
That was it. We never went to Somerville at that time.
You went to Sonora, though.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Because
I own in Sutter Creek and Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Calaveras.
Calaveras. And we went to Rio Vista once.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't in the league.
Uh-huh.
We went down there once. But I'd have to get my list done. Well, they don't show it. All they show is the big game. I got some, what's the name here?
Some yearbooks?
Yeah, they're not yearbooks. No, I haven't got them anymore.
Oh.
The football.
So, Maurice, you brought out the annual big game, November 11th, 1944. And I'm looking at the pictures. It's kind of fun. Some of the people you mentioned is Robert Swenson, Matley, Annette Vukovich, yourself, Frank Boozy, Fred Onetto, Emil Marcucci. He was
Emil Marcucci.
Emil, there you go. He was my landlord when I first moved up here.
Mm.
I rented one of his properties on South Avenue.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Fred Healy, I remember.
Yeah. You remember Fred?
Yeah, he worked at the school there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Nat Lane. Now, the football club or the quarterback club always gave a Nat Lane Award.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it as named after him. So who was Nat Lane?
Well, he was just a good football player, and his father was, what the hell was Nat's father? Was he head of Bank of America, or he worked at Bank of America, I believe?
Yeah, I don't know.
You
know, because
I was
wondering why
you
called it
the
Nat Lane.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's the one that set up that what's-the-name for him. Nat was a teacher down in Stockton, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's still alive or dead anymore or not. I haven't seen him since he left here.
It's fun looking at the Sutter Creek squad. I know some of these guys.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do.
You're Ross Oliveto.
Yeah.
Leland Glandon.
Yeah.
Aaron Glandon. Let's see, Bob Oliver. Joe Panotti. He's all pretty well known.
Yeah.
Larry Fernandi. I did not know that Fernandi.
Oh, yeah.
Was, and Joe Vara. I know Joe quite well.
Yeah.
Or did.
Did, yeah. He's history now, too.
Right. It's a pretty good program. You got all these pictures in it. Where's the face mask? Hardly anybody had a face mask.
No, you never had anything like that in those days.
So, you guys played at the Butte Bowl?
Yeah.
And where was that?
To where the elementary or senior elementary is now.
Okay.
That's where we played, yeah.
Oh, this is... I like looking at this.
Frankie Boscovich. Yeah. Yeah, there's Larry Danovich when he was younger.
Well, that's back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had quite a career up here.
Yeah.
Everybody speaks very highly of him. So,
oh, Larry, yeah, he was good. He was good people.
So did you know the coach at Sutter Creek, Don Wrinkle? Do you know anything about him?
No. We didn't go around Sutter Creek. That was taboo.
You stayed away from Sutter Creek?
Yeah, well, Sutter Creek was those people over there.
It was on the other side.
Yeah, it was the other side.
Well, that's kind of the way it was when
when
I came here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. What's the name? Jackson was a working man's town, and Sutter Creek was the owner's and the manager's town.
Oh, really?
The mines. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what they do. Let's see the headlines there in the ledger.
Local foursome goes to war, town goes to hell.
That was just a special front page old babe Barberini put
so
out.
Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. So the war was going on when you were in high school.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it started.
And so you probably knew, you knew a lot of people that went in,
mm-hmm.
that went into the Army
yeah.
during that time period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew a lot of them. A lot of them I knew after they came back, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I hadn't met them before, but yeah.
And did you lose any friends of the war?
Yeah, I lost a couple. Johnny Susich and Bobby Raggio.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them, yeah. We lost them in the war. But no, I didn't. Well, it was one guy I didn't know him. He lived up, going away up right across from the football field there at the senior elementary school, Digitale. I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Never met him, but he didn't make it. But no, we didn't. Lose too many.
When I was teaching the history at Argonaut High School, I had Warren Plamondon come in and speak in my class.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned that to Fred O'Neill, and he said that Warren's brother had saved his life on the McCollum. That Fred had fallen in the water and couldn't really swim, and his brother went out and saved him. And
never heard that before.
Passed on later on. So I was just wondering if you were with him when he about drowned in the McCollum.
No. I never heard that story before.
So during the high school days, you guys had your regular dances, and they were all held at, what's the name of that hall?
Krabanoff Hall.
Krabanoff. Is that where all your dances were then during high school?
I think we probably had some at the auditorium up there, but it was awful small.
Uh-huh.
But the dances, they were all held down there, I think. That was the only hall there was to dance in, here in town.
So
they just had assemblies up there in that one of them.
Did they have any boxing matches up here? Someone told me at one time they had some boxing matches that they
might have.
Yeah, I can't remember who told me that one.
I don't know. They could have.
So you got out of high school, and then you became a truck driver, logging truck driver. What else did you do?
Well, then I went in the service and spent 4 years in the Air Force.
So what made you want to go in the service?
Well, I didn't want to. Well, I had to.
Oh.
So I was going to get drafted, so I enlisted.
Okay. All right.
I had a exemption from my mother, but when that Korean War came along and they needed more people, then I was too young for World War II. I just missed it.
Right.
And so then they were going to take me in Korean War, and I said, "No, hell, I'm not going to be on the front lines. I can join the Air Force."
And what
as
was
a
your
mechanic?
Oh, as a mechanic, yeah. And you were in there for 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And you said once you were in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they sent you?
Yeah. Yep. I went from here. Well, I went to school in Wyoming, and then from there down to Louisiana to the Air Force Base, and then from there to Japan.
Where was the school at in Wyoming?
Cheyenne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they had an aircraft.
This was mechanic. Wasn't an aircraft mechanic. I was mechanic for ground, what they call the ground power equipment that started airplanes and run them in that.
Oh, that's interesting. Something totally different.
Yeah, something totally different. And then when I went overseas, I was out on an island that was a radar site, and I took care of the big generators that ran the place.
Mm-hmm. And that's off the coast of Japan, you said?
It's off the coast of Korea.
Oh, Korea.
25 miles from Busan.
Oh, geez, you're close.
I was right close, yeah.
Yeah.
But by that time, the war was pooped out just about when I was in there.
So what were the winters like?
Where? Over there?
In Korea.
It was a little cold out there, yeah. A little cold and windy.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were up in the mountains there. This was, you're only 50 feet above the water.
Wow, that's different.
So it was, but it got cold out there, like anything else.
Did you meet and maintain any lifelong friends from the military?
None that I talked to or I wrote to in that for a while afterwards, but no, never not lifelong. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's hard to maintain.
Yeah.
For everybody.
For a while, I guess you have to be committed real bad. I had a couple of guys that I used to write to for a while, and they wrote back, and then we just kind of went our merry ways.
Mm-hmm. And then you got out of the Air Force. Then what happened?
Well, I was married in the meantime when I was in the service.
Oh, you got married in the service.
Yeah, and come home here, and then I went to work for the sawmill again up there. I was telling you, I worked around the truck shop up there,
uh-huh.
And drove part-time and that. and worked on this house here to get a place to live, for, to rebuild it, and then we moved out here, and then I drove, I drove gas truck for Standard Oil when they used to deliver gas for that. Plant was right up there next to, right by the railroad tracks up there at Martell. Used to deliver gas and oil, and I worked for the butane company delivering propane and that. Then I went on the ranch here and worked the ranch for a while until we started the resort.
So you still worked?
I did both.
So you still ranched, and then you still had the resort you had to do.
Yeah, we started the resort up. Yeah, it sat idle for 15 years.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it sat idle. The guy that had it rented, my brother didn't like the resort business. He didn't run it, so he leased it out all the time. And the last guy that leased it made a mistake in the fall of the year. They had a seasonal liquor license. In the fall of the year, he made a mistake of selling the liquor to some guys come in who were crying, they were cold, and this and that, and they were ABC agents.
Mm-hmm.
If you had given them the drink, it would have been all right, you know. But
So that
closed it down. He left, and so we never opened it again, and sat there for 15 years dead.
Oh.
And so we decided to start it up.
Well, that's a big commitment.
It was a hell of a commitment, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
Everything was run down, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of work you had to put into that. Where'd you find the time?
4, 5, 6 months out of the year, I found the time.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, then I wintertime worked down here. And I had run cattle up there, too, at the same time for a while. Until I finally leased the cattle in 77. Leased the ranch. That was a drought year, and we were out of water and out of feed. And so I leased the ranch up.
So how does the drought today compare to the one in 77?
Don't even compare.
In what way?
Well, it's not as much.
Okay.
77, my reservoir was dry up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good-sized pond of water, and it was dry. I had my old Toyota pickup right down the bottom of it.
Wow.
And that was only 2 years.
Uh-huh.
It was that way. Yeah, it was dry. It was bad, didn't it?
So, Maurice, you were a school board member at one time. Did you have any other offices and any other... What made you run for school board?
Oh, they were joining up with all these districts out here, the Aetna and the Milligan and that, were all going to be unified in with Jackson, and they wanted somebody to run for the Aetna district.
Uh-huh.
They had to, you know, they had to get a representative for the Aetna and one from Milligan and three from Jackson area. Or two, I guess. No, there was three, actually. It was Claude Tremelling and Joyce. And yeah, there was five of us, so... So they asked me to run, and I did. And stayed there for 19 years.
19 years. Oh, that's amazing.
And when they united with Sutter, or unified with Sutter Creek, I said, that's enough. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Or Oro Madre, I should call it.
Oro Madre. Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad you stayed with it, because you hired my wife.
Yeah, I hired her.
When she was Miss Columbia.
Yeah. Miss Columbia, yeah.
And then a couple of years later, 3 years later, you hired me, so I appreciate it. So, thanks.
You're welcome.
And that's our history. 19 years, so you saw a lot of changes in the schools, too, then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We built the high school up there. We got that going. Fran could look forward and see stuff that...
Mm-hmm.
Needed to be done. He was a good manager, too. I mean,
I had a lot of respect for him as a superintendent,
yeah.
As my boss. I had a lot of respect for him.
Yep, I did, too. And he had a lot of respect for us as board members. So.
Yeah, you guys all got along.
Yeah, we tried to.
Imagine that. The boards anymore, sometimes you wonder.
Oh, God, I tell you, I went to that one board meeting here not too long ago, and, well, been a while back, and Jesus Christ, I was four unions for the goddamn bus drivers, I think it was. Something they had decided what days off they wanted or some damn thing.
Yeah, everybody has a union.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Things have changed.
Yep.
So is there a, can you think of anything else that you'd like to talk about that I didn't mention or you didn't mention or?
God, I don't know. I haven't looked this over. I don't see if I can find anything in here.
Did you belong to a Lions Club or anything like that?
No, I tried to, I forget what even which one it was. I tried it for a while. I just was not a joiner in those clubs. I don't know. I just,
well, it's not like you had a lot of time either.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, my son's busier than I am, and he always has time to go to the Lions Club. Maybe I should have went to that. They had a noon time in that.
Well, they do that with
Yeah. But I never did.
So, politically speaking, in this community of ours, do you remember any big community leaders, any mayors that, or people that went on and became Congress people that...
Well, just Johnny Begovich.
Yeah, John Begovich.
Yeah, he's about the only one I know of that did.
And did you know him personally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, knew him very well.
Because he's very well recognized in the state as being a real big mover and shaker.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he was that. All right.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people like, too, is that he told you what he thought.
Oh, yeah. You damn right he did.
Whether you wanted to hear it or not.
Yep. I think that's the way it should be.
I agree.
Did you want these list of kids?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And we'll make a whole thing of this.
Yeah.
And you four children, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Janice and I were fortunate enough to teach two of them.
Yep.
The younger of two.
Younger two, yep.
So how'd you meet your wife?
Well, met her down at the gas station. She was coming off of work from the theater, and I met her down there originally. And then my neighbor, Mr. Boozy, down there, we were out running around one night, and he took me up to her house and called her out and got her out there talking to us. And from there on, we...
You hit it off.
Hit
huh?
it off, yeah. 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 So.
Now, where did Carolita live?
She lived up on High School Hill up there on that Sierra View Estates.
Oh, okay. In that area.
Yeah, right up on the top up there. Right on the top on the house on the left. It's what, from the end, that see his, I guess it'd be his second, not the old Wickman house that was down there, but the one above it, and then there's been the second one.
Okay.
Up there on the left if you go up the upper road and around.
Yeah. I kind of know where we're at.
Huh?
I kind of know where you're at.
Yeah.
Now, has she been in the county long?
Oh, she'd been there. She was 10 years old when she came here.
Okay.
You know, her dad had to get out of the Bay Area down there. He had jungle rot from the being out in the islands in the service.
Oh.
And he had to get out of that damp country, so they came up here. And he worked around up there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So did you know her in high school?
No. No. Oh, I was out of high school.
Oh, okay.
There's 8 years difference in her.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I robbed a cradle.
Never been happier, huh?
Yeah.
I sure appreciate your time and all this stuff. This is good stuff. So thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
And thanks for filling out this. And
yeah, well, Carolita did that this morning. She don't blame me for doing it because I'm too lazy.
And what we do, put this on sheets, and you know, when people come in to look, you know, about certain things, then they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that
concludes. Yeah, I don't care. I didn't see anything I'm ashamed of.
Okay. Well,
we're going to look for that.
You've got all sorts of good stuff.
Oh, we've got so much stuff on us. It's unreal. I wish I could find all the pictures like that. This don't feel like the right one. There's one for it, right?
Oh. So this This is the Great Register Amador County for the year 1908. My goodness.
Oh, here's those people Daniel was telling you about, the car dealer down in.
Oh, okay.
What's his name? That's my brother Ray.
Very nice. What year do you think this is? 50s? 40s?
Late 40s, early, right at 50, because 52 is when it closed. Now, I don't know. You know, this maybe it is closed when this was taken. I don't know. Looks now, but look to the logs. It looks like it was before that. They look pretty damn good shape there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, George was very great.